Okay, we are on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Thank you very much for coming. And may our learning be a merit. Li'ilui Nishmas, Me'ira Chaya, Nechama Bracha, Lea Shalom, Bas David Mordechai Sheyichya. Today's Daf is Daf Mem Beis here in Meseches Nida. And the topic that we're going to deal with today is Poleta Shechva Zera. That is, a man who had intercourse with his wife. After the intercourse, the semen is popping out. It's coming out of her. So that creates an impurity. What is the nature of that impurity? When is that impurity created? That's going to be the topic of today's learning. So again, we're going to start on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, about a third of the way down. Tanu Rabbanan. Our sages taught us in a Braita. The verse says, there's a salah, flow of blood, inner flesh. This is said about Nida. That teaches you that if the blood is still inside of her, but once it's in the outer chamber, she's already tameh, even if it didn't go out of her body. Maybe that's only true with the blood of Nida. How do we know if during the 11 days of Zov, if she has blood that hasn't yet exited her body, but it's gone out of the uterus? How do we know it's in the vagina already? How do we know that that makes her Tamei as a Zava, Tamaloma, Zova, Bivsar? That's what the verse teaches you with the words Zova, flow in her flesh. Poleta Shechva Zera Minayim. How do we know that a woman who's had intercourse with her husband and now is discharging the semen, even if the semen hasn't left her body, it's still inside her body, touching her inside of her body is also going to make her tamei. Tamaloma, that we learned from the words Yihiyah. Now Reb Shimon says, no, daya kibala. It's enough that she should be like her husband. Ma bala, since it's impurity from the semen, just like with the husband, he's only going to become tamei once the semen actually exits his body. Afhi, so to the woman who, when the semen is coming out of her, she only becomes tamei until her semen comes out, till the semen that came from him in her is actually exiting her body and it touches her from outside of her body. So now, this is an argument here, right? Poleta Shechva Zera. Does it have the law of semen and does it have the law of blood? If it has the law of blood, it would create tuma when it's still inside of her body. If it has the law of semen, it only creates tuma when it goes out of the body.
Is that the same law or different?
This is the question. So ask the Gemara, Vesav Rabbi Shimon, does Rabbi Shimon really hold Daya Kibbalah that she should be like the man who had intercourse with her? But Tanya, but didn't we learn in a Braisa? The verse says, Verachatsu Bamayim V'tamua Da'arev. They should bathe in the waters, and they'll be tamei. In the evening, they'll be tar. So the Braisa says, "I'm Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, the same person." He says, "V'chimah bazal lamdeinu. What's this teaching us? Imli nogea b'shechva zera. If it's going to teach us that if anyone touches semen, he has to go to the mikvah. Harik varnam lamato oish. That we already know from the words oish. Oish asher tietzim v'mena shechva zera. The extra word o or is to include one who touches shechva zera, one who touches semen." Ella, rather, what's the verse telling you? The verse is telling you the following thing. If the verse wouldn't have told you what's going to be with a woman, I would have thought, Yipnesha Tumas Beis Astarmi. I would think that the semen is inside of her body. So how can it make her tame? It's a tuma in a hidden place. Tumas Beis Astarmi and a matama. When you have tuma through touch, if it's in a hidden place, it doesn't create impurity. So that's why I need a pasuk. Ella shigzeiras hakasuv hi. I need a pasuk to tell me that even though the semen is inside of her body and it's a tuma in a hidden place, it does create impurity. But one second, this is Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon just said that a woman is like the man who's having the intercourse with her, and the semen can't be inside of her body to make her tummy. It only makes her tummy when it comes out of her body. So you have a contradiction.
One brisa says semen out of her body makes her tummy, but not inside the body. The second brisa says even the semen inside the body makes her tummy. So the brisa says lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Kan b'mishameshes. One is talking about the act of intercourse itself. So the act of intercourse, the intercourse makes her tummy, and that semen inside of her body makes her tummy. The other brisa, the first brisa, is after the intercourse, the poletes, when the semen comes out, after she already had the intercourse, so that semen still in the body is not going to make her tummy. Only once it exits her body does it make her impure. So one second, why do I need a special pasuk? Right, this pasuk over here of Rachatu b'mayim v'tamuah da'arev, poletes, if the semen's coming out because she had already had intercourse, tepek lo da'shimsha, she's already tummy because she had the intercourse. So the answer is the second brisa is talking about the first brisa. The first brisa is talking about bishatavla l'shimusha. She had gone to the mikvah right after the intercourse. So she went, she had intercourse. So there we have the verse of when during the intercourse you have the verse of Arach Tzubamayim v'tamuada arev. So she went to the mikvah. And then we have the second brisa, Rabbi Shimon says, if after she went to the mikvah, there's going to be semen coming out, so that's going to also make her tummy, but only once it exits her body. Says the Gemara, the name of the Mishameshes, are you going to tell me if a woman has intercourse? You learn from the second brisa, the Tumas Erev Sagila, all she needs to do is to go to the mikvah, and then that's it. For Amar Rava, but Rava said no. Mishameshes, a woman who has intercourse, called Shlosha Yam, for the next 3 days, Asura Lecho B'Tshuma, she's not allowed to eat Tshuma, Sheyev Shalosh Lo Tiflo, because for the next 3 days, there's certainly going to be semen coming out. So you see that for the 3 days, semen is going to be coming out. Not that she goes to the mikvah, and then she's okay. Even after she goes to the mikvah, semen is still going to be coming out for the next 3 days. So where it says, well, it depends if she walks around or not. If she walks around, semen is going to be coming out. But if she has intercourse, and then they take the bed in which she had the intercourse and her in it, and she's laying, you know, motionless, and they dunk it in the mikvah, and she stays in the bed now for the next 2 days, 3 days, then that's it. There's not going to be any problem. So the Gemara says, that's the question. The second brisa that says that the intercourse itself makes her tameh, and about the intercourse itself, we have the pasuk, go to the mikvah, and you're okay. That's shitbila b'mita. That's when she was dunked in the mikvah, in the bed. She had intercourse, and in that position that she was in of during the intercourse, she's still there in that position, frozen in that position, and then she, in the bed, is taken like that and dunked in the mikvah, and she becomes tar that way, and then the mikvah, and then the bed and her are taken out of the mikvah, and she just stays motionless for 3 days. So there was only a tumah out of Erev. When Rava said that if she had intercourse, she's going to be tummy for 3 days, that's because she's walking around. So Gemara says, 1 second. Mechladuchi kama Rava da Azla. So Rava's case that says that if a woman has intercourse, she's coming out for the next 3 days, even if she goes to the mikvah, because intercourse, the semen is still going to be coming out. That's because she's walking around. She walked to the mikvah. Well, if she walked to the mikvah, so Michlal, that implies the Pikam Rava, that when Rava said his case was the Azli Bikara, she walked with her feet, the Tavl, and she went to the mikvah. So why does Rava say she's tummy for 3 days? Because semen's going to still be coming out. Dilma Meim Vaduka Azla Shadite. Maybe while she was walking, the semen came out. And it was while she was walking to the mikvah, the semen came out. So why do you say that for the next 3 days there's still semen coming out? Maybe it all is out already. Starting today's daf, Mam Beis Amud Aleph. The Chitim, and if you're going to say, that's really what Rava meant. Rava meant, Dilma Yishtayer. Rava meant, maybe some semen left. Some semen is still inside. So when he says that for 3 days she's tummy, it doesn't mean that she's certainly tummy. He means she might be tummy, because since she's walking around, she's you know, jiggering her body, semen might be bumping out, and that makes her impure. Yaki, if that's the case, Rava should have said, Chai Shinon, we're worried, Shemanishtayer Mibayle, maybe there's some semen left in her. So the Gemara says, you're right. When Rava said that a woman who has intercourse for the next 3 days can't eat Shuma because semen is going to be coming out, the Rava Nami, Rava's case also was not that she walked to the mikvah. If she walked to the mikvah, then maybe the semen already all came out. Rava's also, Shitvila B'mita. Rava's case also was, she had intercourse, so she becomes tummy from the intercourse. Then she says, hey, take me to the mikvah. They come, they pick up the bed. She's still laying in the bed in that position. And they dunk her in the mikvah. Fine. So then that should be enough. That was the first brisa. That should be enough. I'm sorry, that's the second brisa. That should be enough once she's dunked in the mikvah. The answer is it's not enough because lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Kamei misapeches. After she was dunked in the mikvah, she starts gyrating in the bed. She starts moving back and forth in the bed. She turns over in the bed. So now, even after she went to the mikvah, we're worried things are going to, because of the movements in the bed, semen's going to come back out. And the case that we said that through the intercourse she becomes tameh and she just has to be tovel and she becomes tor that evening is in a case where she was toveled in the bed and she then doesn't leave the bed for 3 days. She stays frozen in that position for 3 days and therefore there's no semen coming out. After 3 days it's old semen, it doesn't make her tummy anymore.
What's the problem?
I guess. Bathroom.
Can you make the mikveh tummy?
No.
No.
Mikveh doesn't become tummy.
So can they just do it as a mikveh?
In theory, yeah. Yeah,
it's like a lot easier to get those guys to carry naked.
Maybe she has female slaves to carry. Maybe she has female slaves to carry her in the bed.
So as long as it's inside, she's taller. When he's coming out, becomes
dead. No. So good. So now let's talk about the bottom line, right? The semen of the intercourse makes her tummy even when it's inside.
Okay.
That can be solved by going to the mikvah, and then that night, she's tohar. But then semen that comes out, according to Rabbi Shimon, will only make her tummy when it comes fully out of her body, not out of the uterus and into the vagina. It has to come fully out of the body. According to the Chachamim, even from the word yiyeh, even just within the bayit hachitzon, in the vagina, also makes her tummy. So the Gemara now says, Virava, who said that for 3 days she can't eat truma, akra ka'i. He's explaining a pasuk. This is what he means to say. Kikaz of Rachmanu, when did Hashem say, Virachatu b'mayim v'tamad arev, that when they have the intercourse, they have to go to the mikvah, and they'll be tamed till the evening, come the evening, they're tahor. That's b'she'ena misapechas. If she doesn't move around after she went to the mikvah, but if she turns over in the bed after she went to the mikvah, and Rava said, for 3 days she can't eat shuma, because she has shalosh lo tiflo. Through the movement, semen is going to come out, and semen is fresh for 3 days. So for 3 days that it comes out, it makes her tameh.
So when anything comes out of uterus, is tameh. Am I right that way? Everything inside is tameh? Can we say that? Or
blood is.
Blood
semen
is,
we're saying is an argument.
Semen
is an argument.
You know, okay. Even I think the baby comes out is tummy. You know, okay.
Yeah, makes it some right tummy because of birth.
Kabbalah is teaching us that the malachim go inside there to seek baby. All the Torah.
Yeah, we learned that earlier. Yeah.
So how could a malachim go to a tummy place?
I think that's the lesson.
Is that a contradiction?
How do they have to go in that way?
I don't know. I'm asking. I don't look like a chacham. I want to ask one. Become like one.
Oh, you look like one.
Maybe that's the lesson. That where the challenge is, that's where you have the greater holiness.
That's a big contradiction here.
Maybe that's the lesson. Through the you overcome the tumah, and you have holiness.
I don't know. Maybe they go by the door.
All right. So now another question about this tumah. Right. Again, there's this impurity of the semen coming out of a woman. So, boy, mine, Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna, may Abaye. Shmuel Bar Bisna asked the question to Abaye. This impurity, poleta shemazera, the semen that bounces out of a woman makes her impure, right? We saw an argument. According to the Chacham, makes her impure when it's still in the Bayit Tachitza. According to Rabbi Shimon, it only makes her impure once it exits her body entirely. But still, this poleta shemazera, how do we define it? Roahavya, is it the equivalent of seeing a flow? Is it the equivalent of ziva flow and nida flows? But it's just for a day. The tumah is for a day, not for 7 days. Oh, no gas havya. Or is it the equivalent of touching something tummy, like touching a sheretz, touching a nevela? How do we define this tumah? So what's the difference whether you define it as a flow tumah or a touch tumah? Nafkamina, the difference will be listar. If she has a plate, a shichva zera, within Zayin Akiv in the seven clean days of a Zava. If it's a flow, so flow tumas knock out the seven clean days. She has to restart. If you say it's a touch tuma, so then it wouldn't knock out the seven clean days. Another difference would be the time of a mashu. Let's say there's a tiny amount of it that came out of her. So if you're going to tell me that it's a flow tuma, so then it would apply even to a tiny amount. If it's a touch tuma, maybe there has to be a certain amount of it. And a third difference, will the time b'fnim kibachutz? The question, the argument between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, will it create tuma when it's still inside the body, or only once it's outside the body? If it's a form of a flow tuma, so then it should create tuma inside the body, like ziva and nida. If it's a type of a touch tuma, then it should only create tuma when it comes out of the body, because if it's inside the body, it's tuma space astarm. It's touching a hidden place, which shouldn't create any impurity. So, Gemara says, one second, what's this whole question that Rav, Shmuel, Bar Bisna, and Amora is asking Abaye? This is the issue that we've just had of Tanayim, Manavshach. So, let's figure this out. Ishmael Masnisa, if you'd heard the brice that we began with today, so then we have an answer. The Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, who say it doesn't need to leave the body to make her Tameh, even when it's in the bias achitzon, in the vagina, the plate of Shifasar makes her Tameh. So, Roa Havyan, so then clearly it is a flow tuma. It's not a touch tuma because it applies internally. According to Rabbi Shimon, it says it has to exit the body to make her tame. No gas have you. It's a touch tuma. So what's the question? And if he doesn't hate, he never knew the braisa, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Bisna. So then, mistabra, it makes sense. No gas have you. That it would be a touch tuma. Right? It makes sense to be a touch tuma. And therefore, it shouldn't apply inside the body, and it should have to have a certain amount, and it should not mess up the Zayin Nekiyah. So when it says, La'olam Shmuel Masnisa, no, Shmuel Bar Bisna knew this braisa. Alibi the Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, who say that from the word Yiyah, Pleita Shechvazer creates Tumah even when it's inside the body, Lokam Yibayles, then he's sure that it's a question of a flow, it's defined as a flow impurity, and it's not defined as a touch impurity. Kikam Yibayle, Alibi the Rabbi Shimon. His question was according to Rabbi Shimon. The time b'fnim kibachutz lo kumi boile, in terms of the impurity in the body versus outside the body, he knows Rabbi Shimon says it only creates impurity once it leaves the body. Fine. But he's saying, okay, so that implies that it's a touch tuma. And he asked, maybe it's not a touch tuma. Maybe this law is like a touch tuma. But ki kumi boile, his question is, Lister, what about knocking out the seven clean days? Maybe in regards to the seven clean days, it's not called a touch impurity, it's called a flow impurity, and it knocks out the seven clean days. And the second question is this impurity of a woman who is ejecting semen, letame bakoshu, does it create impurity with a tiny amount of semen? Or is there an amount? My, what's the law? He come Rabbi Shimon, when Rabbi Shimon says this phrase, Daya Kabal, a woman who has intercourse should be like the one who had the intercourse with her. So just like he only becomes impure once the semen exits his body, as we learned in the Mishnah, she becomes impure once the semen exits her body. That's in regards to the question of internal impurity. When it's still inside the body, will it create impurity? But in regards to messing up, to destroying the seven clean days, or to create impurity through just a little bit of it coming out, in regards to that, maybe it's defined as a flow impurity. And if it's a flow impurity, it will mess up the seven clean days, and it will create impurity with a tiny amount. Or maybe loshna, maybe in regards to all areas, Rabbi Shimon holds that the impurity created by ejection of semen is a touch impurity. It has to be outside the body. It has to be a certain amount. And it does not mess up the seven clean days. That's one version of this question. Ikad Amri, another version of how to explain the question to Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna, is the following. Some say like this. Lo'olam lo shmi ale masnisa. He never knew the braisa. Therefore, how can you boil it? This is now his question. Since Hashem was only strict with people who had had ejaculations of semen, to say that they couldn't come and participate in the Sinai revelation, they had to go to the mikvah first, and then they had to wait to become pure. So therefore, that tells you, Roa Havya, that means that it's a flow impurity, because apparently it's very strict. It caused people not to be able to be part of Mamad Har Sinai. Well, Dilmar, maybe Logamina Misina. Maybe we don't derive anything from Sinai. The Chiddushu, the whole laws of impurity at Sinai were very novel. Tazavan with Sarain, because you had people at Saras, which is a very high level of impurity, and a person who was a Zav, Chamiri, Ivalo Achmu Burachman, and they were allowed to participate in the Sinai revelation. So you see that in general, Sinai is not a proof that it's strict necessarily. Amarle, so Abaye said back to Shmuel Bar Bisna, Roa Havya, a woman who has a discharge of semen after the intercourse with her husband, has an impurity, which is a flow-type impurity. And therefore, if it's a flow-type impurity, it will ruin the seven clean days, and it creates certain impurity upon her, even if a tiny amount comes out, even a very small amount comes out. So then...
The ones that had Soras, didn't they send them out of the camp?
You know, yes, say, yes, but even so, they could be part of Mamre Harsinai.
They participate
in participate in Harsinai.
So which one is the fact one? You know, the correct?
No, they were allowed to come into Harsinai. There's a special...
But after they finished their term, whatever was outside?
Even before. No, even before.
So when they were coming, they were coming
yes.
in? Is that what they
That's
saying?
Right, yes.
Okay.
So Abaye says that the impurity of the Pleita Shechva Zera is a flow impurity. That's what he said to Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna. Asa, so Rav Shmuel Bar Bisna came. Shaila l'Rav, he asked the same question to Rava. Is this impurity a flow impurity or a touch impurity? Amar Lei, so he also said to him, Roa Havya, it is a flow impurity. Asa l'kam di Rav Yosef. Then he went to their teacher of Abaye and Rava, Rav Yosef. Amar Lei, he also said, Roa Havya, it is a flow impurity. And therefore, in terms of your question, it will mess up the seven clean days. And it'll create an impurity with a tiny amount. Then he went back in front of Abaye. Amar Lei, so he said to him, all of you spit in the same direction. In other words, you know, everybody's saying the same thing. Everybody's saying that it's a flow impurity, that there's no possibility that it's a touch impurity. So Amar Lei, so Abaye said to him, Shapri Amilach. Everybody's telling you the right thing. Everybody's telling you the right thing. It is a flow impurity. When did Rabbi Shimon say that the impurity is only when it exits her body? She should be like her, the man who had intercourse with her, just like he becomes impure once it exits his body. She becomes impure once it exits her body. That's only in regards to when does the impurity start? Only once it's outside of her body, and it wouldn't create impurity if it's still in the vagina. But in regards to ruining the seven clean days, and how much of it has to come out to create impurity, even a small amount, in regards to these two laws, Roa Havya, we define it as a flow impurity, and since it's a flow impurity, it does ruin the seven clean days. Since it's a flow impurity, it creates impurity, even if it's a tiny amount that's coming out of her. All right, we're at the two dots here on Membeis, Amadal, Tanar Rabbanan Lidin Abraisa, Anida, a woman who has blood during the days that make her Anida. Zava, a woman has 3 days of bleeding during the days that make her into a Zava, which now require her to have 7 clean days. Hashomeres Yom Keneged Yom, a woman has blood during the 11 days of Ziva, but only had 1 day of blood, so she has to wait for 24 hours. Vayoledes, or a woman who gives birth, Kulan, all 4 of these women, Metamos, they become impure, Bifnim, when the discharge is still inside her body in the vagina, Kibachot, as bad as were it to be outside of her body. So Bishmakulu, if we think about these 3 cases, Nida, Zava, Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, and Yoledes. So the first 3, Lachye, they work. El Yoledes, when we talk about a woman giving birth, what's going on? If she's giving birth during the days of Nida, and we're talking about her blood makes her a Nida. Ibime Ziva, if she's giving birth during the days of Ziva, we already talked about Ziva. We spoke about Ziva for 3 days and Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. So what do we have to talk about a Yoledes? So Gemara says the Lotricha, the case is like this. What is the case of a woman giving birth? Not in the act of birth. We're talking about the following case. She yarda litvol mitum letara. She gave birth. So then she has impurity for 14 days. Then she's going to have purity for 66 days. So she's going down to immerse in the mikvah at the end of the 14 days. And in that time when she's going down to the mikvah is when she had the discharge of blood from the uterus into the vagina. Like what Rabbi Zera said, name Rabbi Chiya Bar Ash, name of Rav, Yoledes, a woman who had given birth. She yarda litvol, at the end of the 2 weeks, she's going to the mikvah, going down to the mikvah to get out mitumah from the days of impurity, latara, to the days of purity. And as she's walking down the steps, v'nekar mimena dam, she feels that the blood went from her uterus and is in the vagina, but not yet out of the body. Then she goes to the mikvah, and a day or 2 later, she has the blood actually come out of the body. So now, If this blood went from her uterus into the vagina, Biarida, when she's walking down the steps to the mikvah, Tameya, she's Tamei. And as long as that blood is in the vagina, she cannot become Tohar. She becomes Tamei. The Braisa holds that this blood, apparently, the Braisa holds like the view that says that if a woman doesn't go to the mikvah after the 2 weeks, the blood itself is Tamei. So this blood is Tamei blood, and because it's in her body, she's carrying Tamei blood, and so she becomes Tamei. However, if she went to the mikvah, and Ba'aliyah, as she's coming out of the mikvah, then there's a discharge of blood from the uterus into the vagina, then she is Tahora, because once she went to the mikvah, everything else is now Dam Tohar. Dam Tohar, it's days of purity, that's already considered pure blood, and it doesn't create impurity. So now, according to this, when the Braisa said that a woman giving birth has tumah when it's inside of her body, just like as if it would be outside of the body, it means this case, that the blood went from her uterus to her vagina before she went to the mikvah, before she toveled, and therefore, when that blood is still in her, she is tameh. Amar le Rav Yirmiyah le Rav Zeirah, so Rav Yirmiyah said to Rav Zeirah, this that you said, that she becomes tameh through the blood that goes from her uterus to her vagina when she's going down the steps, Biarida, when she's going down to the steps, Amai Tmeya, why is she Tamei? Tuma Beluahu, this is Tuma that is hidden inside of her body. The Tamei blood is hidden in her body, so how can it create Tuma upon her? Amalei, so Zera said, Zil Shai Leler of Oven, go ask it to Rab Oven. The Asbert Niale, I explained it to him. He nodded with his head in the Beis Medrash that he agreed to my explanation. Azul Shaila, so Rabbi Yirmiyah went and asked Rabbi Oven, why is there this tumah? It's tumah blua, it's hidden tumah. It's hidden in the body. Rabbi Oven explained, this tumah is a dindra abanan on a woman who gives birth. Asa uha kenivlas of tohar. Rabbi Oven said that if a woman who gives birth has in her body Tamei blood, so then it's like a person who's eating a nevela of a bird. A kosher bird that wasn't shechted is a nevela. Shemetama begadim nevesabliya. Even though when swallowing that kosher bird, which wasn't shechted correctly, it's in the body, it's in the throat. Through the swallowing in the throat, it makes all the garments tamei. So here too, they created a tuma, even though it's tuma belua. So why says, me tummy, how's that comparable? Now starting on base mid base. There's a din minat Torah that the tuma of a nevelas of tahar of a kosher kosher bird nevela only creates tuma when it's inside the body. But over here, we're talking about blood. They could just say that when the blood comes out of her body and touches her, it creates tuma. They don't have to make a tuma when it's still inside the body. So the Gemara says, you're right. Hachanami, when Rabbi Zeira said that this woman who's going down to the mikvah is tame because of the bleeding that she had before she immersed in the mikvah, it was because she yatzah lachutz. The blood actually came out of her body. But before the blood came out of the body, it wouldn't make her tame. So a second, yatzah lachutz, if he's talking about the blood that came out of her body, my lememra, well, of course that blood's going to make her tame. The blood started leaving before she went to the mikvah. Then it comes out of the body. So of course it's going to make her tummy. So Mara said, no, Ma'adatim would have thought to say, Migu de Mahan Yitvilu Adam Dika Gavai, since the immersion in the mikvah works for the blood that's inside of the body, Tani Nami Lahai, it should also work for this blood that's in the vagina, but not yet out of the body. Kamash Malan, that's Reb Zeira, is teaching us that no, it didn't work. And once the blood actually comes out of the body, it will make her tummy. So now, if that's the case, So Shmaita different. So now you've explained Reb Zeira, but that doesn't work with the Brice anymore. Elio Ledes. And then we go back to the Brice. The Brice listed four things: Nida, Zava, Shomeres Yom, Kenegadom, and Yoledes. And says in all four, there is a tuma when it's still inside the body. Elio Ledes. So now this case of Yoledes, we have the question we had before: Ibi may Nida if she's giving birth during at times when she's a Nida, and we're saying that the blood that's coming out of her makes her a Nida when it's still in the vagina. We already said that in the case of Nida. If it's during the days of Ziva, we already said in Ziva. So what's the case of Yoledes? So Gemara says, you know what the case of Yoledes is? A woman who had no blood with her birth. She gave birth, the baby came out without any blood.
Possible.
Yes, it is possible. Bloodless medicine. So blade.
Possible, right? We're not talking about what's possible. What's practical? What we're talking about?
In theory, I guess. So the question is, lady abeshta, a bleeding, a birth where there's no blood at all. What do you mean that it creates a tumor when it's in the vagina as if it would be outside the body? So what does that mean? The baby's coming all the way out. So the question is, no, maybe not. The lesson of the Bryce is, once the baby puts his head out of the courtyard and into the, out of the hallway and into the outer chamber, once the baby puts its head into the vagina, even though it hasn't yet come into the air of the world, it's already considered born, even though there is no blood, and the woman has the impurity of a birthing mother. Kidder of Oshia, like the lesson of Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia said, I'm Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia says in Maseches Chulin, the law that the Mishnah said there, that a midwife who puts her hands into the womb of a pregnant woman and touches a baby inside, even if the baby's dead, becomes tameh. Why? It's a gzeir. It's all based on the decree. Shema Yotzi Vlad, Rosh Chutz LeBrostar. Maybe the baby's going to be alive and put his head into the vagina and she's going to touch it. And she's going to think that she didn't yet become tummy. And really, once his head was in the vagina, he's born. And you have already the situation of Tomas Leidas. That's what the Bryce is talking about. Where the head went into the vagina, that alone is considered Tomas Leida, even though the head hasn't come out of her body. B'chiyahu, we had a story. There was this fellow, D'asala Kameh D'Rava. The man comes in front of Rava. Amar Lehi says to Rava, can I do bris mila on Shabbos? I'm a lady, so I was a Shabbat dummy. Of course you can do bris mila on Shabbos. On mila bismana, if it's the eighth day, you can do it on Shabbos. Basa dinafik, after the fellow left, I'm a Rava said, what was I thinking? Am I thinking that a person is asking me whether the bris mila can happen on Shabbos? Everybody knows it can happen on Shabbos. Other bus rate, so Rava ran after him. I'm a lady, Rava said to him, Emily easy gufdu uftehicha avda. What's the question here? What was your issue? I'm a lace. He said like this. Shmeis Vlad Tzavis Apanya Damali Shapsa. I heard the baby screaming in the mother's womb on Friday. Friday afternoon. But meanwhile, the baby only came out on Shabbos, on Friday night. I'm a lace. So I said, well, if you heard the baby screaming, Hi Hotzi Rosh Chutz LeProzdor Hu. That means that the baby put his head already out into the vagina. So since the baby put his head out into the vagina on Friday, the baby was already born on Friday. So now Shabbos is the ninth day. It's not the eighth day. Milah Shlo Bismana. Circumcision on day nine you can't do on Shabbos. Chal Milah Shlo Bismana. Machal on Alasa Shabbos. You have to do the Bris Milah back on Shabbos. All right, so that's the bottom line of the Braisa. The Braisa says that there are four situations, Nida, Zava, Shomeres Yom, and Yoledes, that the Tumah can happen even when it's still inside the body. What the case of Yoledes is not what we thought, that after 14 days there is a discharge of blood in her as she's going down to the mikvah. That's not the case of Yoledes. The case of Yoledes is that the baby actually put his head out into the vagina, and that's considered a birth even without any blood. Alrighty, boy, we had a question. Oso makom, the vagina, shalisha of a woman, balua havi, is that considered swallowed, obes hastarim havi? Or is that considered the folds, the inner folds of the skin? Lamayin af kamina, what's the difference between how you define it? The question's like this, let's say a friend puts an olive worth of nevela in that spot. And it didn't touch her body outside, it just touches her body inside. Yeah, balua havi, if you say it's just something swallowed, then tuma blua loma tama. The swallowed tuma doesn't create any tuma. However, yami pesa star mavi, but if you're going to say that it's considered like the folds of the skin, So true, there's no tuma through touching the inner fold, but there could be tuma through transport. And therefore, if she walks around with this nevela in her, she'd be considered someone carrying nevela, and she would become tamei. Abaye says balua havi, it is considered swallowed. Rava Amar beis hastarim havi, it's just considered inner folds of skin. Amar Rava says, what's my source that inside the body has the status of beis hastarim? The Tanya we learned in a brisa that a woman who has intercourse with her husband based on the semen touching her, of course she would become tame. Ella, so what's the reason why I needed a pasuk to say she has to go to the mikvah? Ipnei she tumas beis hastarmi, because this is a tuma in the inner folds of the body. The tumas beis hastarmi and the tuma in the inner folds of the body normally doesn't create tuma through touch. Ella shekzeres hakasuk, that's why I have to have a pasuk decreeing that she needs to go to the mikvah. So you see, it's called tumas beis hastarmi. It's not called tuma blua. Rabbi will answer the brisa is not to be taken literally. Chadav od kamar. Right, saying one point and another point. Father, first of all, tuma blua here, it's a swallow tuma. And furthermore, if you live in tuma tuma space, a starmi, even if you're going to tell me it's a tuma in an inner fold, okay, so even if you tell me it's not a swallow tuma, so what will it be? It's going to be a tuma in the inner fold, in a matama. It doesn't create tuma through touch. But there's a decree from the pasuk, she has to go to the mikvah, that it does create tuma in this case. Okay, similar question. You barely did another question. Makom nivlas oftar, namely the throat where a person swallows a nevela, a kosher bird nevela. So that place, baluahi, is that considered, you know, swallowed? It's swallowed in the flesh of a person. Obeis astarim, where it's also a hidden area. L'mayin nefkamina, what's the difference? If a friend put the piece of nevela there into the throat, yam baluahavi, if it's swallowed, so tumbulu lamatam, it doesn't create any tuma. Yeah, if you're going to tell me beis hastarim havi, it's just like inside the folds of the body. It doesn't create tuma through touch, but b'masa mi'ametam would create tuma through transport. Abaye amar baluah havi. Abaye said again, it's considered swallowed in the body. Rav amar beis hastarim havi, it's considered the hidden part of the body. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, "Mina aminu lo, how do I know that it's considered just part of the body? Baluah doesn't create tuma. The tiny lint in a brisa." Maybe the nevela of an animal would make the person's garments tame when it's in his throat, when he's swallowing it, like nevela softar. That's the pasuk says, nevelo trefa lo yochal letama ba. You can't eat a nevela and a trefa to become tame through it. Mishein la tuma ella achilasa. Only where the tuma is created through the eating. Then we have this law, yatzazu, to exclude an avail of an animal, shetumasa, call them shiuchlen, where there's tumma even before you eat it, there's tumma through touching it, or through carrying it. So you see that the pasuk is saying that there is no tumma in the beis habliya. So apparently the beis habliya is not considered a makom starim, a hidden place, it's considered a makom balua, a swallowed place. Okay, we'll stop here. Bez Hashem will continue tomorrow. Rabbi Chananya ben Akashi, Omer Ratzak HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zakos HaYisrael, Fichach Hirbalem Torah, Mitzvah, Shenemar,